All right, this morning we're going to look at a parable in Matthew chapter 22. So if you would stand with me for the honor of reading God's word. We're going to be in Matthew chapter 22, starting in verse 1. And again, Jesus spoke to them in parable, saying, "The kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who gave a wedding feast for his son and sent his servants to call those who were invited to the wedding feast, but they would not come. Again, he sent other servants, saying, 'Tell those who are invited, see, I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and my fat calves have been slaughtered, and everything is ready. Come to the wedding feast.' But they paid no attention and went off, one to his farm, another to his business, while the rest seized his servants, treated them shamefully, and killed them. The king was angry, and he sent his troops and destroyed those murderers and burned their city. Then he said to his servants, 'The wedding feast is ready, but those invited were not worthy. Go therefore to the main roads and invite to the wedding feast as many as you find.' And those servants went out into the roads and gathered all whom they found, both bad and good. And so the wedding hall was filled with guests. But when the king came in to look at the guests, he saw there was a man who had no wedding garment. And he said to him, 'Friend, how did you get in here without a wedding garment?' And he was speechless. Then the king said to the attendants, 'Bind him hand and foot and cast him into outer darkness. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth, for many are called, but few are chosen.'" Let's pray. Lord, this morning, I pray, God, that you would help us to see the joy of being in your presence. Lord, that there is a celebration, there is a feast, there is a party that you invite us to. And God, I pray that we would accept that, and that we would find joy in your fellowship. So Lord, help me to preach plain and clear. I do realize that there is a strict judgment on my life and rightly dividing your word of truth. And I accept that place, for it's in Jesus' name that I pray, in his name that I preach. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. When we think about this parable, I can't help but think of the kingdom of God being like a party. Right, I mean, we all like to go to parties. How many of y'all have ever been invited to a party? All right, and there's been some parties where you're like, you did not want to miss, because it was going to have, there's going to have good food, and there's going to be a good fellowship, and then there's different types of parties you may attend, and depending on how grand it may be, or the person that you're going to honor, makes it more special, does it not? And so Jesus tells a story of a king who's giving a wedding celebration, a wedding party for a son. Now, this should be the event, right? Now, this is the event. This is the one you don't want to miss. Think of your, like, who is it that you admire the most? Is it a movie star? Who is your, you know, the person you would just love to spend some time with? Your favorite athlete? You know, your whoever it might be, the person that you would love to be able to spend some time with. And what would it be like if you got an invitation to a party that they were throwing, and you were going to be able to meet them and be there? That'd be pretty sweet, wouldn't it? I mean, I'm sure there'd be a lot of Instagramming going on at that event, right? You'd be excited to be there. Oh, I'm going to make sure. This should be the most exciting event of their lifetime. Now, I know that we as Americans, we are not in a kingdom, and so we don't have a mindset of a king, but this is a royal wedding, right? This is a royal wedding. This is the king, and he is inviting you to his son's wedding feast, the wedding party. This is a royal wedding where the king is going to honor his son. This should be the highlight. This may be the biggest event of their lifetime. And so as he's giving this parable and the invitations are going out, he wants people to know that there is someone worthy to be praised. That I'm sure as people began to decline the invitations, well, he was shocked. Who would do such thing? My son is being honored. Who doesn't want to go at the king's invitation to the king's party where there's going to be the son to be celebrated and there's going to be rich food to eat and fellowship with those around them, who wouldn't want to go? Because we got to think about the Son. The Father is the King. Jesus is the Son. Now, the Father is glorified when the Son is magnified. If you want to get to the heart of God the Father, then you go through his Son and you magnify the Son. And when you worship the Son and you brag on the Son, you make the Father proud. We know that as parents. How many parents, it's fine if somebody gives you a compliment, but when they brag on your kids, isn't that a little better? Huh? And when you brag on your kids, so when you brag on the Son, it glorifies the Father, and the Son is worthy to celebrate. We're invited to a party, and we ought to be able to celebrate. We have a reason to rejoice because Jesus is the Son in whom we celebrate. Well, who is this Jesus? It's Jesus that the Bible says was in the beginning with God and was God. It's Jesus that it says that there was nothing made that was not made but through him, that he is the creator of all things, both the visible and the invisible. The principalities and the powers, whether thrones or dominions, he is the one that sets them up. The Bible says that all things are held together by him, that were made for him and through him. This is Jesus that said, "Let there be light," and light came upon the earth. He said, "Let the mountains rise," and the mountains came through and peeked through the clouds. This is Jesus who gave the parameter of the borders of the water, of where it should flow and where it should stay, and he made the blades of grass to come and they sprung up. This is Jesus who is the image of the invisible God. He is the sustainer of all things. He has the keys of heaven, death, hell, and the grave wrapped around his girdle, and the government is upon his shoulder. This is Jesus. He's worthy to be praised. Amen. We need to praise him today. We're invited to the party to celebrate Jesus, our Lord. He is Jesus, the name that's given among all names, that at the name of Jesus, every knee must bow, every tongue must confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. We get to go to his party and celebrate him. Not only do we look at the divinity of Jesus and stand in awe and be amazed at his wonder, we also notice his humanity. That Jesus, who was the one who formed us, who shaped us, who called us, who holds us together, he came to be married. For a bride. To who? Not the angels. No, no. For even the angels long to understand the work of redemption. Now he came for the seed of Abraham. This Jesus. The one that is glorious. The one that is awesome in splendor. Thought it not robbery to be equal with God. And humbled himself and wrapped himself up in flesh and walked among us. This Jesus who walked the dusty streets of Jerusalem, who was spat on, ridiculed, mocked as he lived a sinless life, healing many, was crucified on a cross. But for the joy that was set before him, he endured its shame. Why? Because he knew that there was going to be many dinner guests invited to the celebration. This Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us. Never such a man as he. He is the second Adam, the one to make us whole, the perfect God, sinless, sacrificial, compassionate, tender, yet bold and driven to redeem sinners. He canceled the certificate of death on the cross. He cast our sins as far as the east is from the west. He holds no guilt to those who have been applied the blood of Jesus. We've been washed clean. We've been made whole. We are a new people, a new creation. We are his bride, and we get to celebrate Jesus the Son. Amen? We worship him today. We get to go to the greatest party ever. How many say amen? Who wouldn't want to go to this? Who wouldn't want to be a part of God's party? Should not every human tongue call upon the name of Jesus? Should not every soul of man go and fall at the foot of Jesus? The king's son has won. The marriage is to be celebrated. The gospel is for everyone. It goes out to every tongue, tribe, and nation. The invitation goes forth to come and worship the Son with us. Sunday mornings, what do? We come to worship Jesus. Amen. The king, he had a son, and there is a party. And when we come together with God's people, we come here to lift high the name of Jesus, to worship him and to honor him. Not only do we have Christ, the one that's honored, the distinguished guest at the party that we are invited to come to. Man, look at the spread of the table, the delicacies that he has. Notice in the parable as we read it, that it was the oxen that was slain and the fatted calves. What's that mean? The good stuff. I mean, this is some good food. This is rich meat. This is a king's delight. We get to experience a dinner table, a fellowship with God. And he puts it before us, as Matthew Henry said, it's a feast full of love and laughter, fullness and fellowship. It's full of love because it's the love of Jesus that reconciles us to God. It's a feast of laughter because we can enjoy the presence of God. It's a feast of fullness because the gospel fills the hunger of men through salvation and the blessings of the Spirit of God. And it's full of fellowship because it is with the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. See what great of an expense the king paid to have this party. Now, who wouldn't want to be at a party where the distinguished, the one to be distinguished is the Son of God, and the food is rich? Now, guys, let's be honest. If you were at a dinner, at a party, at a wedding feast, and it had some really nice cut steak, and it was open for more than just one plate, how many of y'all would be sure to maybe get seconds? Huh? How many of y'all get seconds? I mean, it would be good. I tell you, when we think about the party that God's called us to, he's called us into fellowship with his son, salvation through Christ. We get to celebrate this, and he gives us a table food of food of grace and mercy. We get to drink the cup of mercy every day, for he makes it new every morning. We get to feast on his grace. We get to feast on his forgiveness. We get to celebrate God's provision and his promises. We get the fruit of the Holy Spirit that we can have flowing through us, which is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, and self-control. The Word of God, as we've been reading through the New Testament, that is a table food of full of food that we can just eat on, and we can just, the more we read and the more we digest, oh, the better it gets. Amen. The Word of God is rich, it's full. Oh, the price that this king paid to have this party. Oh, the cost of Calvary. The gospel is expensive. It cost the blood of his son. The very heart of Christ was drained to pay the price for this great feast. But it cost the sinner nothing. No merit can earn it. No money can buy it. But it can simply be accepted. Who would refuse such a feast? Spurgeon said, if men refuse the stony tablets of Moses, I do not marvel. But to despise the loaded tables of grace heaped up with the oxen and fatlings, this is strange. Why would people not want to go to the greatest party ever? I mean, God's love is so amazing. The world is invited to this party, and the world is invited to forgiveness and grace and mercy and wholeness, that we can be made right with the holy God and promised eternity forever with him. It doesn't get any better than that. What party can you go to that's greater than that? Huh? What festival is greater than that? What feast is greater than one that God grants us and offers us? He must have been shocked when people refused the invitation. Why? It must have blown him away. He provided a party. He sent out his servants and said, hey, it's ready, come. And they didn't come. That's odd. The king is celebrating the marriage of his son. Why would they not come? Maybe they misunderstood. So what does the king do? He sends out servants the second time. And this time, he goes in a little bit more in depth of what the party's going to be like. This is when he tells them that, hey, that the oxen have been slaughtered and the fatted calves are there. Come, the dinner is ready. Surely they will respond this time. But they refused. Strange. Why would someone turn down such an amazing invitation? Well, if we go to verse 5, it says, but they paid no attention and went off. One to his farm, another to his business. Now, these were people that were invited by the king to come celebrate the marriage of his son. Should have been the greatest event of their life, the most memorable event. They'd be talking about this the rest of their life, telling their grandkids, I remember when I was at the party of the king. You should have been there. Oh, man, the music, the fellowship, the food. Oh, you should have saw him. It was amazing. But instead, they said, I've got more important things to do. I've got other matters to attend to. I got to go to my farm. I've got to do my business. I don't have time to take out of my day to honor the son. I wonder what excuses people use today of why they won't give their life to Christ. Oh, you know, I might give my life to Christ later when I get older. You know, I'm a little young right now. I still got a lot of life to live, and I'll do that later. You will. How do you know? Number one, how do you know that you will want to? And then number two, how do you know that you will live to be longer? Because you're not guaranteed your next breath. So, well, you know, I've got a different view about that party than what probably you do. Okay. Some just completely rejected it, wasn't interested. Some adamantly opposed it and hated it. We see that today. We see that there are some people that are just hard toward the gospel. A lot of people in our culture just reject it, either not important enough to really dive into and think about, or, you know, I'm just not interested. And there's some who viciously attack it and try to destroy it. This is the second group. Look at verse 6. It says, and while the rest seized the servants, treated them shamefully, and killed them. Killed the servants, killed the ones that were inviting them to this great party. And so the king was angry and sent his troops and destroyed the murderers and burned their city. There will be a price to pay for refusal of the king's invitation. There is the reality of God's justice and his wrath. But here's the good news. God extends an invitation so that you don't have to experience his wrath. Amen? That was Paul. That's Paul's hope that we read about in the New Testament, that we are saved from the day of wrath. What's the day of wrath? The day of his return, the day that he's going to separate the wheat from the chaff, the sheep from the goat. And so he gives us an opportunity. But these folks that were invited, they killed the prophets. Now, this parable definitely was spoken to the scribes and the Pharisees. It is about them. That's why they didn't like it too well, right? The people who were invited, that's the Jewish nation. That's his people. Again, I referenced this last week. Remember when Jesus is going to Jerusalem on that day before he comes in and will be crucified? He looks upon the city and he weeps. Why? Because he came to his own and his own received him not. The prophets of the Old Testament, the preaching of John the Baptist, the first servants have went out and they've heralded the good news that there's a king coming, there's a party, there's going to be a celebration, but they would reject it. Jesus is crucified, he's resurrected, he sends out another invitation. He doesn't give up on the Jewish people. No, after the day of Pentecost, when the wedding celebration happened and the bride of Christ was formed, he said, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. And so he sent more. He sent the apostles out preaching that people must repent and be saved. Stephen, remember Stephen, as he gets up there, he preaches powerfully the word of God, and the religious people there, the Pharisees, they start stopping up their ears, and it says they start gnashing their own tongue, chewing on their own tongue, because they are so angry of what Stephen is preaching. He's telling them their hope's not in the temple, their hope is not in the law, but their hope is in Jesus, and they stone him to death. In 70 AD, in 70 AD, the judgment of God upon his people, the Jewish nation, Rome came in and destroyed the entire temple, tore it down, killed millions of Jewish people. They would not respond to their time of visitation. What does God do? Does he stop the party? Does he just stop sending out invitations? No, he goes on. Look at what he does there in verse 8. Then he said to his servants, the wedding feast is ready. Go therefore to the main roads and invite to the wedding feast as many as you find. And those servants went out into the roads and gathered all whom they found, both bad and good. So the wedding hall was filled with guests. He said, they're not going to listen. I'm going to go to the Gentiles, and we're going to go to the ends of the earth, and the gospel is going to go forth, and we're going to call all men into repentance, and there's going to be people from every tongue, tribe, and nation come and hear the gospel be preached. Go, therefore, make disciples, baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded. Lo, I am with you always, even until the end of the age. God wants his house to be full. Amen. He wants his party to be well attended. He wants people to respond to the gospel. He takes no pleasure in the death of the wicked. He wants all men to come to repentance. And so he extends the invitation. The gospel goes out. We must preach and share and teach the good news of Jesus. He's got a party he wants you to be a part of. How many of y'all got friends, family members, people you work with? They're missing out on the greatest party ever. We get a chance to invite them, to talk to them, to share with them this good news about what it's like to be in Christ. He says, both bad and good are there. As we've been reading through Matthew, Jesus gives us some parables that clarifies that You see, in the invisible church, the people of God, the people who are saved, God knows them. He sees them. He knows who are his. But the visible church, the local churches that we have, one here, ours and all churches around, we think we know if someone's a believer or not, but we really don't know. You don't really know somebody's heart, do you? You really don't know where they stand with Christ. God knows. He gave us a parable in Matthew about the fish and the nets, that the kingdom of heaven will be like a fisherman who throws his net out, and when he draws the net, there will be all kinds of fish, and then he will separate the good from the bad. He tells the parable about a certain man and went out into his field, and he sowed good soil on his field. And then at night, someone came in and scattered weeds. And he woke up the next morning and they said, "What has happened? Did we not plant good seed? How come all these weeds?" "Oh, a thief has come in and done this." They asked the owner, "Well, what do you want us to do? Do you want us to pull up all the weeds?" He said, No. Don't do that. No, don't pull up the weeds lest you harm the good seed. No, just wait until the harvest. And Jesus interprets that for us as the end of the age. That at the end of the age, when the angels come and bring the harvest, put their sickle in to harvest the souls of men, then he will separate the wheat from the chaff. You see, the Bible has just two categories. You're either saved or you're lost. You're either a sheep or you're a goat. You're in dark or light. Where are you? Where do you stand with God? Have you accepted the invitation? Have you rejoiced in the party of salvation? Have you experienced the grace of God? Do you know Jesus? Because when the king came and observed the guest, he noticed there was a gentleman that did not have the wedding garments on. Said, "Sir, friend, how did you get in?" And he was speechless. There will be many who will stand on the day of judgment, not only just out in the world, not only people who are secular, we would say, but even people who may have been in the church that's had a Christian name but never a Christian nature. And he will say, "Depart from me." And you'll be speechless. There'll be nothing to say. There's no argument. You will not be able to argue your case. The grace and the mercy of God was so evident through the sacrificial death of his son that the world should see the grace of an almighty God who doesn't wish any to perish but all to come to repentance, and that the invitation has been given to all. But the sad reality is many are called, few are chosen. Why would so few people accept the invitation? I don't know what the reasons are. But this man refused to put on the wedding garment. He said, "I'll come to the party, but I'll come my way." The invitation, the king gives the invitation. And then the king gets to set the rules of how you enter the party. and the king provides garments for you to enter. Free. You don't have to work for it. You don't have to buy it. It is the garment of his salvation. It is putting on Christ, the Bible says. It is the robes of his righteousness. Isaiah 61:10 says, I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall exult in my God, for he has clothed me with the garments of salvation. He has covered me with the robe of righteousness. As a bridegroom decks himself like a priest with beautiful headdress, as a bride adorns herself with her jewels, he has given us a garment of salvation that we must wear. How do we accept this invitation? By believing in the Lord Jesus, that he died on the cross and he rose again, and by placing our faith in Christ and in him alone. And that we believe that we are saved not by our works, but by the work of Jesus on the cross. Now, why do so many people not respond? Who would turn down this invitation? I have a thought. I have a thought that many in our culture, like this man in this parable, and probably throughout all of history, people don't like to be told what to do. Huh? You got to wear this garment. I'm not wearing that garment. Right? Yeah. You know what he was doing? He came to the party and said, I'm going to be me. I'm just going to do me. How many people are going to be placed in outer darkness where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth because they were true to themselves? Girl, you do you, girl. You be you. Just be you. Well, you can be you in outer darkness. You can be yourself where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. But if you want to enter the party, you've got to die to self and become who he says to become. If you want to enter the party, you don't do it on your own terms, you do it on his terms. If you want to come to the party, it's an invitation given through the blood of Jesus, and that every man and woman who is saved must call upon the name of Jesus if you want to enter the party. Now, here's the promise. For every person who calls upon the name of the Lord, the Bible says we'll be saved. You know what that means? You call upon the name of the Lord, you trust and believe in Jesus with all your heart, the invitation that he gives you the garments of salvation, grace and mercy. He's clothed you and he's promised you forgiveness and mercy. A table full of food through his word. He promises his life. An abundant life, not that life's not going to be difficult because it's going to be, not that we'll never go through a storm, but that he promises he will go through the storm with us, that he will shelter us, that he will guide us. We're not only blessed in this life, but then we're blessed for all eternity because we celebrate the risen King forever and ever. And I'm glad I can celebrate. I'm glad I know that Jesus has saved me, he's redeemed me, he's clothed me with his grace, and it causes me to want to worship him. This morning, I ask that we would seek the Lord today. Those of us who are believers, allow the Holy Spirit just to stir up in our heart that joy of what it means to be a part of the party. Invited to the kingdom. And if there's someone here this morning that's never placed their faith in Christ, you've never accepted Christ as Lord and Savior, today I'm going to ask you to do one thing. Would you please be open to the Holy Spirit as he speaks to you this morning and says, hey, come to the party. I've got an invitation for you. I want you to be a part of it. Just come. And would you please respond? Let's pray. Lord Jesus,